With our love bowed down before you, our Abba, we do come before you to brak you unto total our Abba. For all that you have done for the house of Israel. And as we bow down in your presence, we consider all that you have done for your people. You have redeemed us from the power of darkness. You have ordered our footsteps aright. We may walk in the pathway of Sadiq. And for that we do toda our Abba. We brak you. We ask you to pour out your mighty Ruah among the house of Israel. That we may know and sense the power of our Abba in the inward parts. The fire of your anointing burns like the fire of Hashemiah. We ask you to strengthen us all. Touch every seed of Israel scattered throughout the nations of the world. We do pray for them. We do ask you to bless and to strengthen precious men of Yah, in many parts of the world, different nations, men like Pastor Babu, Elder Martin there in Kenya, and Pastor Aji there in Ghana with the precious sisters, all of them the brothers, Sister Leticia, for health that you restore her, I pray. Sister Mary, that you give her strength. Everyone there in that fellowship, the gathering, the Jerusalems of our Abba, we do pray for them as we pray for this house, your people, those that are listening tonight, via the live web, those that may hear this message in some other form. We ask that you will strengthen and bless them, that you will open their ears to hear and to perceive what Yahweh commands unto Israel. Help us, our Abba, for we do need your help. We know that you are very present help in the times of trouble. We know that there are troubles on every side, every way we turn. We can see the calamities throughout the world, the commotions. Storm clouds have arisen. We see the war clouds over many nations of the world. Fighting, rumors of wars, governments destroyed, lives of the people. Poverty overwhelming, death rapidly, the stench of poverty. We ask you to help us, Yah, to know and to understand the perfect will of our Abba. We shall rejoice this night. We shall be exceedingly glad for all that you have done. We ask you to bless the music as we sing unto you, and to bring Hallel, praises unto our Abba. We ask it all in the mighty name of Yahshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel. We trust you and believe you for all things. We acknowledge you in all things, our Abba. Now bless us all, I pray. Strengthen, touch everybody. Heal everyone that needs healing at the house of Israel. We shall shabbat you and bless you. We shall esteem your name highly. We ask it all in the mighty name of Yahshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel. And all the people of Yah cry hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on and lift your hands and praise Him. Hallelujah.
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 We know that you are able, our precious Abba. to do all things. We certainly take great delight on the scripture truth as we gather here in the Bayat of our Abba to esteem your name mightily and to you have for the mighty power of the living word, Yahshua, the Lamb, Israel. We ask you to touch every heart tonight that we may hear, perceive, and understand what the Ruach speaks unto Israel. So help us all, I pray. We do ask your anointing upon Brother Dolph as you touch him, for your healing power is sufficient. So we ask you in the mighty name of Yahshua to touch him mightily and bring great deliverance and relief. We ask again for Sister Letitia that your power will move mightily and that she may rebound greatly. And the presence of the Kedushim's there, they may give you great rejoicing. We bless you tonight and we total you for all things. In Yahshua's mighty name. And all the people cried, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look to your neighbor and say, my friend, may Yah strengthen you tonight. And shalom. Yah bless you. You may be seated. What a wonderful and excellent time that we are in. And I am certainly excited about everything that Almighty Yahweh is doing. My love takes great delight. What I sense and see the power of his manifestation among the simple few that he has elected. It is not by some democracy or democratic process that we have chosen him. But before the foundations of the world, he knew who was his. And he preordained the ordination that they shall be made the sons of Yahweh. And I take great delight in that, to know that I am a son. Hallelujah. What a great honor and a great privilege to know that I am a seed of Israel, the called elect of Almighty Yahweh. I do want to on tonight with a great delicate apprehension and comprehension of the word of Yah. I want to take my time. I really do. I want to do it very methodical that we may understand and perceive what the word of Yahweh speaks unto his people. Now, I do want to go back and revisit a message that I began some weeks ago concerning our ability to wait upon Almighty Yahweh. And I do want to say this, that is one thing that the English verbiage or the vernacular, it does not express the nuances in the Aramaic or the Hebrew language. We must understand that it was a language that really, it was a simple language. It was a language of pictorial. When one spoke the language, one could comprehend and perceive in that dialect what one was trying to convey unto them. It was a tremendously pictorial language, and it had a tremendous poetic expression. Now, we must understand that our minds have been trained in the Greek manner. We do not perceive nor understand the things of Yah. It is almost like an untrained eye trying to perceive the delicates and the lines and the tremendous art form of a Picasso or a Rembrandt. To the untrained eye, it is simply some form of a painting that you don't even understand the expression of the painting. It is like the untrained ear trying to listen to Chopin or trying to listen to Bach. Or trying to understand Mozart without understanding the intricates of the notes and the masterful skills that they possess to draw in this kind of collaboration of music, that it startles the very conscience of man when he understands the nuances of that music. It is one thing that our English vernacular, it has not and it cannot express the nuances of the true word of Almighty Yahweh. That is why we must always study the word of Yah. We must have a tremendous, ferocious appetite to understand what he is speaking unto Israel. He is simply speaking unto Israel. And with that, without that understanding, because we have been trained in this Greek mentality, we are always seeking for some form of understanding, whether it is for our advantage or not. And that is the Greek mindset, to say that I know, yet without understanding of what you know. And this is a generation whereby knowledge has abounded. It has proliferated tremendously. And yet there is no understanding of the knowledge that this generation possesses. And so what I will endeavor to do tonight, as I revisit that message, I want to express unto us that ability or the power of the nuances of the character of the people of Yahweh to literally wait on Him. Now, in the English vernacular, it does not express the components. Now, the nuances, the shades, and the different alterations as in the Hebraic expressions of what Yahweh is trying to convey unto us. And that is why many times we get lost in the word of Yah, because we're trying to equate it with our own vernacular, one that is from a certain segment of society, then their understanding of word meanings are certainly different from one that has been trained to understand linguistics, to understand the language of this nation. And because we do not understand that, because we do not have a greater understanding, then we tend to lose the very impact of what Yahweh speaks unto us. And I want to begin in Tehillim, Psalms. Now, I basically tonight will stay in the Psalms. And the reason why, because it is probably one of the most intimate books beside Yochanan, John, in Scripture. It deals with the very intimacy of HaMashiach, the life, the power of this very battle that he would have to struggle with. And it deals with the struggles of man. The opposition, the battles that we are continuously engaged in. And so David, of all men that could speak with a wisdom, he could speak on that behalf. I believe that. And I want to deal with the nuances or the shades and the difference of what Yahweh expects us to do and what is the reward when we truly began and learned how to simply wait upon Yahweh. David says in Tehillim 25 verse 3, he says, yet let none that wait on you, and he is speaking of Almighty Yah, let no man that cover wait on you be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Now, David speak prophetically here. Yahweh, those that truly cover. Now, that is an expression of the nuance of waiting on Yahweh. It's simply those that truly expect. That truly expect. Now, our minds, we do not truly expect, or there is no expectation of rewards if we truly wait on Him. But David said, let those that wait or cover on you, Yahweh, let them not be brought to shame. Let them not be mocked, ridiculed, because they truly wait with great expectation, because they look for. We must look for Him. In our waiting, we must look for Yahweh. We must expect from Him. I know that our natural mind and our carnal applications that twist and contort the word of Yahweh, it causes us to become very disillusional. And it causes us not to rely totally upon the word of Almighty Yahweh. But those, let those that cover or wait on our way, let them not be brought to shame. Let them not be brought down to mockery, whereby the world will mock them and cause them to be ashamed of their Abba, because they look for you. And not only do they look, but there is a great expectation. They do expect that from you, Yahweh. So that is a tremendous nuance of the word of Yahweh, whereby we wait, let us cover. Let the people of Yahweh cover, wait on Him, and He will not bring us to shame, not one bit at all. He goes on to say in the 27th chapter, now I'm going to do this in a sequential order, so you can move with me, all right? In Psalms, Tehillim 27, verse 14, David says, cover or expect, wait on Yahweh. I'd be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your legs. Cover, I say, on Yahweh. Wait on Yahweh. We are a people, we have a mindset that tends to denounce Him or disqualify Yahweh. But He commands us to cover, wait on Yahweh, and be of great courage. Be of tough courage. Well, what is the manifestation? But still, we must be of great courage. We must not allow our courage in this waiting, this cover on Yahweh to be nullified. We cannot allow the enemy to take that or to steal that expectation of Yahweh from our hearts. When things seem as though that they are not manifesting the way we want them to, it doesn't mean that Yahweh is not near us. It doesn't mean that He will allow us to be brought to shame, because He will not. So we that cover, expect, look for unto Yahweh, let us be of tough, of great courage, and Yahweh shall strengthen your lev. And as He strengthen you, cover. Just expect. Look for. Wait on Almighty Yahweh. We have the propensity that when things do not materialize in an expected time, we began to move away from the expectation. So when we expect cover from Yahweh, He will strengthen our love to maintain that tikvah, that hope of expectation. When we move away from Him, then we began to lose that strength and that courage to wait. And we began to pine away. We began to waste away. We began to lose resolve. We began to lose expectation. So after you've waited, you simply wait, cover. Just wait, expect, look for. And you know who you're looking for from. You're not looking for from within you, but you're looking for from Him. For His power is much greater than ours. And once you lose that expectation, you will begin to lose your confidence in Almighty Yahweh. That is why we are in a time and a period whereby the nuances or the expression of waiting, we're going to manifest every detailed aspect of that. The English vernacular does not express in the greatest pictorial understanding of the word of Yah like it should. That is why Yahweh wants us to truly study, brothers and sisters. You're not going to get it by simply reading the text. You must study. You must dig deep beyond the written words of the pages. David, what man could speak with such excellence of voice as David? Turn back to the 25th chapter of the same book in verse 21. David said, let integrity and tzedakah, or uprightness, preserve me. Let the integrity of Yah and the tzedakah of Yahweh preserve me. Let it preserve me. Let it maintain me. Let that preserve me. Let it maintain me. He says, for I cover, or I wait on you. Let your integrity and your uprightness preserve me, Yahweh. For I wait on you without the integrity of Yahweh, without the uprightness of Yahweh. How are we preserved? What are we kept by? We must have the integrity of Yahweh. Do right by all men, lie not to any man, but do that which is tough in the sight of Almighty Yahweh. Do that what is righteous in the sight of Yahweh. This is a generation that has very little integrity. And there is no uprightness at all, no tzedakah. No man wants the righteousness of Yahweh to rule in him. And the righteousness of Yah is the strength of the power of the living Torah of Yah that governs our every aspect of life. It governs your mind, your purpose, your will, your desire. It governs your love. It governs everything. Everything that functions in this biological body, in this physical realm, there is a spiritual law that is applicable or applied to this physical realm that calls life to emanate out of the body. And without that, we will have no life at all. So allow the integrity of Yah and the tzedakah of Yahweh to preserve you. When something is preserved, it is kept. And you put preservatives in things to maintain the life of that thing throughout the duration of its usage or for whatever purpose it is purposed for. But you need preservatives. And the preservatives of Yahweh is His integrity and His tzedakah. And knowing that is what preserves you, wait on Him. Wait on Him. Do not become despondent. Do not allow your natural mind to corral you by emotions that you remove yourself away from Yahweh because you have become impatient with Him and say, I cannot cover, expect, look for, and have this tigva in me to wait upon Yahweh. We're in the hour whereby the true test of His people will be one of waiting to cover, to have an expectation, and to know that it is certainly from Almighty Yah. Tehillim 37 verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that cover or wait upon Yahweh shall inherit the earth. What a profound instruction unto Israel. Those that disregard the Torah, the principles, the guidance of Yahweh, they are evildoers, they are wicked, and they shall be cut off. Not literally from the earth, that is the application, as well as from the throne room of Almighty Yah. He said, those evildoers shall be cut off, but those that cover upon Yahweh, they shall inherit the kingdom. Now that is worth waiting for. What a man expect and look for, there is an inheritance to that man. But he must know who he is expecting it of. You have no power to garner or to grant anything to you. You cannot truly buy or sell. Cattle upon a thousand hills, they belong to Yah. And the earth, the fullness thereof, it is all His. If you could feed Him, what would you feed Him? If you would offer Him a gift, what could you offer Him? For He owns everything. Even your being, He owns that. What could you offer Him? There's only one simple offering He wants us to offer Him. And that is the offering of Todah, thanksgiving. He loves that. He delights that when He hears it from His people. That when the love of man is simply Todah, a thankful unto Almighty Yahweh. Evildoers shall be cut off, but those that cover, those that wait, those that have this expectation, those that look for Yahweh, they shall inherit the earth. And David, in this great battle, he reiterates the same form of waiting in the 34th verse. He says, cover, wait on Yahweh and keep His ways, And he shall exhort you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall perceive it, you shall understand it, and you shall see it. He says, cover. Wait on Yahweh. Look unto Yahweh. Look for Yahweh to do this. Expect that of him. We have grown accustomed that we do not expect anything from him. We do not expect healing. We do not expect deliverance. We truly do not expect anything for him, from him. And so in the midst of a battle or a trial, we're trying to secure some kind of remedy that we have conjured a thought of in our own intellectual minds that will bring some kind of relief unto us. David tells us, he says, wait on Yahweh. And as you wait, don't be distraught. He says, keep his way. Keep the way of Yahweh. It is a perfect, it is a plain, it is a pure way. Keep Yahweh's way, and he shall exalt you. What a great exaltation. I don't want the exaltation of man. I want that exaltation. He shall exalt you to inherit. To inherit the land. When the wicked are those that are without Torah discipline, when they are cut off, he said, you shall understand, and you shall see that this cover, or this waiting, this looking for, this expectation, it was not in vain. And we get that sense at times that what we're doing, it is in vain. But what we do for Yah, it is not a vain thing. Our mind is full of vanity, because it is an empty thing if it's not governed, trained, and disciplined by Almighty Yahweh. So it must be corralled, it must be brought under the governing power of Yahweh, and the living power of that mind, or the spirit of the mind, it is the true witness of the power of Yahshua. And if we don't have that, then we'll never be able to wait on Yahweh. So that is why many get very despondent, and they lose courage, they lose tikvah, because they don't know how to simply expect. And to look for. We must understand the very nuances of Yahweh. We must. That is why he has given some apostles, some prophets, nabis, some shilishians, some nabis. He has given us some teachers, some evangelists, some teachers, and some pastors. To bring this perfect law of Yahweh in our life, that it may bring forth the living power. We hear words, but yet they never bring forth anything that is of substance. When there is something that has vitality and life that you hear, perceive, or receive, it begins to bring forth things. When a man tells his wife he loves her, she senses the beauty of that and the nuance of that love. It brings forth a different expression, her attitude, or vice versa. And so what Yahweh speaks to us, it causes the mind to be full. That's what it does. So we will cover on our Yahweh. We will wait upon him. We will keep his ways, and he shall exhort us. Tehillim 130 and verse 5. David declared, I will cover, I cover for Yahweh. For my being does cover, and in his word do I, your call, do I truly hope. Now that is one Hebrew expression that kavol. It simply means that one simply, they truly take vow, they hope, they stand, they wait. They are not swayed by any form of persuasion. So we must wait for Yahweh. We must cover. We must expect. We must look to him. We look to our inner resolve and ourselves. And that is why we tend to lose perspective. That's why our minds tend to be twisted when it comes to this living word. It doesn't mean much to us. But David declared, I will wait on Yahweh. Not only will I wait, but my soul or my entire being will simply wait. And in The word of Yahweh, in His word, do I have this yohol, this hope. And if our expectation is not in the word of Yahweh, if our expectation is not built upon what the word of Yahweh says, and what is expressed in scripture, then we have a false tikva. And we fall, we become very weak, we are discouraged, and we have no strength at all. So we must wait, we must cover, we must look for, and have great expectation. One that has expectation, they're looking for something that is beyond their own natural ability to control. There are things that you have no power to control. There are those that are in abject poverty, and they look for a piece of bread, and they have no power to control that. But yet they continue to look for, and there is expectation, and when the expectation comes, it makes the heart glad, doesn't it? It makes the heart rejoice. And so that is what Yahweh, He wants us to cover. That when the expectation comes, it will cause us to be fat with gladness and rejoice before Him. And cause us to lift our hands to Him and to barak Him and to Torah our Abba. For all that He has done. This seems as though it's a tremendous battle. But yet in the midst of all of that, we still cover. We wait on Yahweh because we have the courage and the strength of Yahweh. And He strengthens our life. He strengthens our life. Why? Because we walk in His way. And we have a hope, or we have a tikvah in the Word. Without the living Word, we have no tikvah. We have no promise at all without the living Word of Yahshua. So if we do not have confidence and trust in that, then what do we have? We might as well go the way of the evildoers and the strangers, those that have rejected Him. Because you're walking just like they are walking if you reject that. We must obey what Yahweh commands. The 39th chapter of Tehillim. Hallelujah. This is a very interesting verse here. David says, Tehillim 39 verse 7, and now Sovereign Yah, He says, what kava, what wait I for? Now listen, He says, my hope or healeth, my hope is in You, that I trust You, my desire with expectation of attainment, it simply comes for You. And that is what that pure living tikvah is. Is it an expectation from Yah that we know that it is obtainable? And if we have no expectation that is obtainable, then there is no expectation from Him. He says, and now Sovereign Yah, what kava, what I wait for? What are we waiting for? What is our expectation? What are we looking for? He says, my hope is in You. Well, if it's not in Yahweh, if you do not cherish that anticipation for that to come to fruition, you have nothing. And when one has a true tikvah, a hope of Yahweh, they cherish the expectation. And if you do not cherish what you expect of Him, then you will not wait. You will not wait. You will not cover. You will not look for with expectation from Almighty Yahweh. So He is the Sovereign One, and we will wait, for our hope is in You. We will wait upon You, Yahweh. Why? Because we trust You. The desire of our expectation, we know that we're going to obtain that because we trust You. We have a cherished desire to wait upon You with anticipation because we know that You will bring it to fruition. Only Yahweh can do that. That's why we must wait on Him and be of great courage. Do not become discouraged because there are not many waiting. You simply wait. When it seems as though that everyone is falling by the wayside, you still cover. You look for. You have expectation. You have this cherished burning desire in you that you know that this expectation is obtainable. And the only way it's going to be obtained is by trusting in the word of Yahweh. And we have a living word that we can trust in, even in a more profound way than the words that were written in the Torah. Because this Torah that is in us, it is a living Torah. It is a lively Torah because it is the power of the quickening living word of Almighty Yahweh. So we have a living word that we truly can expect life to come out of it. Every word that He gives unto us, it is Ruach, is life. So our expectation is one of life that comes from Almighty Yahweh. So if you know that, then just cover, wait, expect, look unto Yahweh. That's what you do. We get this word embedded in our lev, grain in our ruah. We can do that without any kind of hesitation, any kind of murmuring, without distress, without complaining. We can do it with great delight that we cherish with a wonderful anticipation, because the word of Yahweh has given us that anticipation. And we can expect to obtain it because she has given us a true, written, living Torah. So we must have the kavah. We must have the ability to kavah, to wait, to look for, to expect. We express that in the English vernacular using that verb, wait. It does not give us the great expanse of waiting on Yahweh. I want to bring us to another insight of this. Look at Tehillim 59, verse 8. And this is what David says in Psalms 59, verse 8. He says, "But you, O Yahweh, shall laugh at them. You shall have all the heathens in derision." Verse 9. "Because of his strength," because of the strength of the heathens, the wicked, those that seem as though they have power, "because of his strength will I wait upon you. For Yahweh is my defense." Because of the strength of the wicked. Now let us understand the expression of wait here. It is expressed shama. Now I want to read the Hebraic expression, the definition of shama. It is literally to keep, to guard. It is Yahweh that guard us because we wait on Him. It is to observe, to give heed, to hedge about. To hedge about. When Shaitan came unto Eah concerning Eob, he says, "I know that you have a hedge about him. I know that you have guarded him round about." Why? Because Eob, he waited. He shoma. He guarded the word in his lev. And we must guard the word of Yahweh. We must hedge it about. And not only that, we must celebrate it. And that is what shama is. It is to celebrate in that waiting. We become very disoriented. We don't know how to think. We don't know how to respond. We don't know how to rejoice. And yet the shama, the weight of Yah in this expression, it is one of celebrating. It is one that celebrates in the waiting. It is almost like a bride waiting for the bridegroom. Does she celebrate in that wait? Certainly she does. The bridegroom celebrates. As the days draw near, as they grow closer, both of them began to celebrate. So David said that because of his strength, because of the power of those that are against me, I wait upon you. I shoma upon you, Almighty Yahweh. I wait. I celebrate in this waiting. I treasure it up in memory. And then it protects me. Because Yah is our protector. We find protection in our waiting on Yahweh. We will not move hastily. We will not go beyond the hedge that He has set about us. We will maintain ourselves within the boundary of His Torah, His commands, His mitzvah. We will keep ourselves hedged about. We will keep our minds hedged about. We will protect our thoughts and our minds because we wait upon Yahweh. We shoma upon Yahweh. Hedge us about Yah. We will hedge ourselves about with the truth of Almighty Yahweh. Because of the wicked strength will I wait upon you. For Yahweh is my defense. Now we understand, listen brothers and sisters, that the wordings or words in scripture, we read them with the understanding of our own vernacular or how we define things. And many times the way you define it is not right. It's not applicable. It's not the most appropriate application of interpretation the way you have interpreted it. It's just wrong. It doesn't imply what you have caused it to imply. It's far from that. Let me show you. Now we're dealing with this expression or this nuance of waiting on Yah, this Shoma. It says here in Psalms, Tehillim 16 and 1. Tehillim 16 and 1. David says, preserve me. And that is what that preserve is. It is Shoma. Wait upon me, O Yahweh, for in you do I put my trust. Preserve me, Shoma. Protect me, Yahweh. Hedge me about. Celebrate me, because I do put my trust in you. And when a man truly puts his trust in Almighty Yahweh, that is a true expression of the tikvah of Yahweh. It is one of truly trusting. He said, I put my trust in you, so preserve a shama me, Yah. Wait on me, because I trust you. It's almost like you're walking through the woods, you're not certain. And someone that is more skillful than you, they're taking greater strides. And you become a little uncertain, unsure. So you say, just wait on me. Let me catch up with you. And you certainly want to be close by them because they know where they're going. I know I do. You walking through the woods, someone that knows the terrain, they understand the woods better than you. I want to be close to them. And if they get too far ahead, you do all you can to catch up with them. So you will say to them, wait on me, just wait, well, wait a minute. And so that is what David implies here. Shoma, hedge me about Yahweh. Give heed to what I speak to you. Observe me, be my God. Why? Because I trust you. I trust you. Now we tend to trust our own abilities. We tend to trust our own will, our own purpose, that we think it supersedes the purpose of Yah. But it's wrong. David said, I trust you. So, Shoma, observe me, Yah. Take heed to my ways. Take heed to my steps, Almighty Yahweh. Hedge me about and celebrate me as a son of Yah. When a man truly waits on Yah, when he Shoma, he will celebrate it. His love is exceedingly glad. Whatever thing transpire, he gives Yahweh the praise, the tefillah, the tefireth for that. He rejoices. The gillah, the joyousness of Yah fills his love. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you all can be sad all you want to. I'm not going to allow that spirit to permeate in me. I am exceedingly happy. Hallelujah. I looked at myself before I came in here today. Of course, I was sweating profusely, but I said, yeah, I'm so thankful. I am. I'm happy. And that is the truth. I'm exceedingly happy. I'm very happy. I'm happy. And I will not allow the enemy to rob me of the essence The confidence I have in the word of Yah, I won't do that. You can, but I will not allow that. Hallelujah. And so, Yah, I want you to Shomha, to guard me, to keep me. As I will wait, I will guard the word of Yahweh. I will guard it with all of my being, my strength. I will guard the word of Almighty Yah. I will have confidence in it. And I do, because there is an expectation. I look for the kingdom. I look for the coming of HaMashiach. I look for that, and I have an expectation, so I will wait. I will wait. I will kava. I will shama on Almighty Yahweh, and I will wait upon Him. Preserve me, Yahweh, for in You do I put my trust. Shama me, for in You do I put my trust. 17th chapter, verse 4. David says, concerning the works of men, by the word of Your lips have I, Shoma, have I kept myself from the paths of the destroyer. By the words of Your lips, Yahweh, I have Shoma. I have hedged myself. I have waited on You. What? I have waited on the words of Your lips. What You have spoken, I have waited. What You have spoken unto me, I've allowed it to hedge my life. I've allowed that to become a pillar in my heart, that I will not willfully sin against You, Almighty Yahweh. I have shema, I have kept myself from the paths of the destroyer. Because of Your word, or the words of Your lips, I have given heed. And when one waits upon Yah, they will give heed to what He commands them. When a man gives heed, it is the ability to hear the expressions of Almighty Yah. He has the ability to receive it with great celebration. And he doesn't discount what Yahweh speaks unto him. He doesn't discount that. Because he has expectation. He looks for from Yahweh. You look for from Yah. You look for from Him. There's an expectation. You know that He is your hedge. You know that He is the one that He is the one that has hedged you about with the thorns. That's literally one of the applications of it. Hedge them about with thorns. As with thorns. You may seem pricky to others, but that's all right. You're hedged about. Let the pricks prick them. No one wants to touch a thorny bush. There are times that on last Shabbat evening, before the Shabbat last Friday, Brother Allen and I were in the woods down here. And I'm telling you, there are some thorns down there. I mean, they grow from the trees some 20, 30, 100 feet up. And they're growing. And you run into those thorns, they are not very friendly. They're not. It is very difficult to get them out depending on the type of clothing you have. And so that's what Yahweh does. He hedges us about as thorns. And because we wait on Him, because we shoma, we hedge ourselves about, brothers and sisters, that these things of this life will not be able to penetrate, because they're going to have to deal with the thorny issues or the pricking issues the way you will respond. So you don't respond in a way that is appeasing to the opposition of those that oppose you. You oppose in a way that they sense the thorniness or the prickiness of the hedge that is about you. Why? Because we're set to celebrate this. We are to guard and we are to keep what Yahweh commands us. That is why that expression or that understanding of the shoma, of this waiting, this form, this expression of waiting that you hedge yourself about. You take heed to what He says. You guard the word of Yahweh. You don't allow the enemy to come and rob you of that, and to steal that from your lev. You don't allow the enemy to do that. You don't even allow your flesh. And that is your biggest enemy, your own flesh. Your own carnal mind, your own natural capacity to guard up this mentality to oppose Yahweh. No matter how much you never oppose Yahweh. No matter how much you never battles Yahweh. He did not battle against his Abba. He battled against the very applications of his flesh. He knew the will of Yahweh. That's why he was hedged about. That's why he had the ability to go and do and to keep the instructions of his Abba. David, in this prayer that he prayed in Tehillim, Psalms 19, verse 11. There was a prayer for the benefit of the word of Yahweh. He understood what the word had done for him and in him. He says in Tehillim 19, 11. He says, moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in Shoma, in keeping of them, there is great reward. When a man truly waits on Yahweh Shoma, there's a great reward. There's a great reward for a man. By the power of the word of Yahweh, we are warned. And by the same power of that written Torah, the living word of Yah, there's a reward. We obey him, there is a reward. And so if we wait upon him, we shama, keep what Yahweh says. That is what shama is. It is to keep, it is to preserve, it is to guard. And if we guard it, brothers and sisters, there is great benefit, a great reward for us. If we guard this, if we wait, we keep our minds on the things of Yah, there's a great reward. There's a great benefit. It brings shalom. It brings the strength of Yah to your mind. It brings the strength of Yah to your physical being. It brings that. And so we have to shoma. We have to wait upon Yahweh. We have to do it with celebration. That's how you do it. With celebration. Those that wait on their monthly stipend, they do it with celebration. There are people that wait on that. People that wait on a certain thing, they do it with celebration. There are people that when they get their monies at the end of the month, and they get the spirits, with something to drink, sure they do. They call their friends, and they're banqueting, and they celebrate. And that's the way it is with Yahweh. We celebrate. In this waiting, we celebrate. We don't become humdrum, because in this waiting, there's preservance. That we are preserved because we wait. There's a great expectation. So you don't become humdrum and dead. These people are probably some of the most deadest people upon the face of the earth. Or dead people without life. Well, I have the life of HaMashiach in me, and I'm going to celebrate. Oh, my day, Yah. That's why I'm going to sing, and I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to dance. I'm going to do all of that. Sure I am. And I'm going to smile. I'm going to rejoice. Hallelujah. It's wonderful for your expression to do those kinds of things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to this in Tehillim 37. Now this was one that caught me truly by surprise, because as I was researching and taking my time to understand the simplicity of Scripture, and Scripture's simplicity, that is why it was written in the Hebraic language, because it was a simple language. Every word meant one thing. When one says, I will shama, yeah, one understood that there will be a great celebration of waiting. There will be a great anticipation that one will hedge themselves about, because they will not allow the encroaching of the enemy, or the words of the enemy, the evildoers, to seduce them away from this precious way. So they will hedge their mind about. They will guard themselves. They will take heed to themselves. And that in the process of waiting, what you do. It is almost like one waiting to go in for an interview for a job. If you've never done that, you will observe yourself again. You will make sure that everything is tidy. Your clothing is appropriate. You will make sure that your hands are not sweaty, because you will probably have to shake someone's hand. So you don't want that. So you probably have your handkerchief or something in your hand to make sure that the perspiration doesn't show. You want to show yourself calm, collective.
and that you have the ability to articulate in the manner that is acceptable by the employer. So you will observe yourself. And that is what this waiting does. And the more you wait there, the more nervous you become. Especially if it's a job that you certainly want. You see, you become a little more nervous with anticipation, the perspiration, the uncertainties began to creep in, the doubts and the fears. All of those things. And so Yahweh tells us to guard ourselves. How? Well, with His word. David said this to Tehillim 37, verse 37. It tells us this, and this is the true expression of the reading of this. It says, Shama, it says mark, doesn't it? But it simply means Shama, the perfect man. And behold the Sadiqa, or the Sadiq, for the end of that man is Shalom. Truly wait, or take heed, observe, celebrate, treasure up in memory. When you see a man that Shoma awaits, mark, the man that waits, that man has a perfect intent, his desire is perfect, his will and his perfect purpose is. So when a man Shama on Yahweh, there's nothing that moves that man away from this hedge or taking heed to what Yahweh says. He takes heed. He celebrates Yahweh. That's why I say mark him or Shama him, because the end of that man, you will know that that man has the perfect Torah of Yah, because that man has Shalom. The end of that man, his activities produce Shalom. There's peace. He's settled. He is certain. He is sure. He is. He is not consumed with the doubts and carried away with the doubts. He takes heed. He listens to Yah. And I want to show us the expression of that demonstration of this Shama when one takes heed. Listen to this. David says in Tehillim 39 verse 1. I'll show you. Psalms 39 verse 1, Tehillim. I said, I will take heed, I will Shoma, I will take heed to my ways, and sin not with my tongue. I will Shoma, I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. David said, I will wait. As to how I express myself, I will take heed of my ways. I will wait. I will guard my ways. I will protect. I will make sure that I observe my ways. That I will not sin with my tongue. That I will not speak inappropriately. But I will speak accordingly to the will of Yah. And not only that, he said, I will Shama. Keep. Now that is a true expression of that in the Aramaic of the Hebraic tongue. Not the word keep. If someone says to you, I will keep, it means that you maintain, you possess, you hold fast. But it doesn't show us the nuances of the subtleties of that expression. If one look at a Picasso or one of Andy Warhol's painting, they will see something and say, "This I can do better than that." But you don't understand the intricacy and the mastery of the painting. You don't understand the colors and how, and minted they can't do that. So that's why they sell for 50 million and 60 million in Rembrandts. You look at that and you say that, I like the one with the fine lines and look pictorial. I'd rather have that one. You look at Rembrandt and say, that's nothing. A Picasso and say, that's nothing. You hear Overture by Bach and you say, Fifth Overture Symphony, that means nothing. You see, that's the way we're trained. That's the way we're trained, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. So you mark a perfect man. You mark when you Shoma. Take heed to him. Wait on him. Listen. Celebrate. And see, the end of that one is one of Shalom. that if you mock that man, then you adjust your ways to that way, then the same thing will be produced from your life as well. So I will keep, I will take heed, I will shoma my ways, that I will not transgress against the Torah of Yah with my mouth. I will not speak against him. I will not speak sinfully against my Abba. I will not do that. So we must guard ourselves. And in waiting, you guard yourself. You take heed to every detail. Certainly you do. You take heed to every detail. David says in 103, verse 17, Tehillim, and verse 18. Tehillim 103, verse 17, 18. But the mercy of Yah is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his tzedakah to the children's children. Now he says, to who? Verse 18, to such as keep Shoma, his covenant, and to those that remember his mitzvah to do them. The mercies of Yahweh, they're everlasting to you and your children. It will bless your home. It will be upon those that, first of all, you must fear Yahweh. You must have a fear for him. You must fear him. Those that fear Yahweh and those that have a great regard for him, and the blessing or the power of Yahweh's blessing will be upon him and his house. To those that shoma or keep his covenant, they keep his word. And to those that remember his mitzvah to do them. When a man waits, when he shoma, when he celebrates Yah, when he knows that he has not transgressed the Torah of Yah that is written in him, it causes a great celebration. When you can look at yourself and know that you have not purposely sinned willfully against him, it should cause one to celebrate. And we do have the Ru'ah, we should have the Ru'ah of Yahweh, and it leads and guides us into Torah power and revelation. Is what it does. And if it shoma, if the Ru'ah or the Torah of Yah watches or waits for us, then we should celebrate that when we keep the truths of Almighty Yahweh. I will keep, I will shoma. I will take heed. I will guard. I will celebrate. I will allow the word to hedge the Torah, to hedge me about. And when I want to go beyond the Torah, it pricks me. There's a prick there. Let me know you're going the wrong way. Is that the right way? I pray that we take heed to this. I want to express this in a greater detail. I want to deal with another one. Another subtlety of this waiting on Yah. It says in Tehillim 62 verse 5. We all know this one. David said, my being, my soul, my entire substance, wait, doman, doman, wait upon you only, Yahweh, for my expectation is from him. Now, I want you to understand this nuance of this waiting and the expression of the Doman. I want you to understand that it means to be silent. For what is waiting, they get silent, don't they? To be silent. To be still. To wait. To be as a dumb one. To make yourself quiet. I will Doman. I will Doman. My soul doman, you only upon Yahweh. Why? Because my expectation, my cover, my expectation is from Yahweh. When one is truly waiting, it is a wonderful thing to learn how to be silent. It's wonderful to be quiet. But what is waiting than that? Silence lets you know what occupies your mind and your ruach. This is the time that we must be silent. This is not a time that we are trying to express the truths of Yahweh to a generation that has blatantly rejected Him. So it's a time to be silent in your wait. To be as one that's dumb. I tell you all the time, there are people that I meet, they're talking about their God, they're talking religious talk, and I'm just as dumb as they come. Is that so? I'll tell you. You sure do know a lot, don't you? Oh, I just got the Spirit of the Lord. You know, I just listen to them. It's time to be dumb. When we are waiting, there's a time to be silent. When we are silent, then we can hear the word of Yahweh spoken unto us by the Ruah. We can hear those things that have been imparted into us, drawn by the quickening or the living power of His Spirit. We can hear that. So there's a time that we need to simply in this wait to be dormant, simply quiet. To be as though you are dumb. Just wait. Simply do that. Now the word wait doesn't give us that variation of expression, does it? Certainly it doesn't. It doesn't. In the English vernacular, if you do any research, you will find that it is a language that is made up of many different dialects. It's a language that has incorporated many symbols and pagan expressions in it.